Here are some signs of a dysfunctional family. So if you are wondering if you are part of a dysfunctional family, here are some signs to look for. Vacations are very stressful. You have parents that are in separate rooms. You never stand up for yourself. You fear abandonment. You are a people pleaser. You experience or witness abuse. The holidays are not joyful. You wish you were in someone else's family. You think you're the only normal person in your family. The family alters the truth. Abuse, addiction, and mental illness go untreated. There's constant conflict. Family members disown each other. These are all signs that you are part of a dysfunctional family. There is no such thing as a perfect family. Never has been, never will be in the broken world that we live in. But if you're in a dysfunctional family, if the signs are there, there is hope. And the focus of this episode is my dysfunctional family. You're listening to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. Welcome to the Pivotal Decisions Podcast, where we know that the decisions you make today determine your tomorrow. I'm your host, Stan Paris. I'm grateful that you are tuning in to the podcast. And if you find the podcast valuable in some way, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. That would be a big help. All you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast. It will pop right up. Hit that subscribe button and you are set to go. And that would be a good thing. Everyone faces choices. And with those choices come responsibility. Each of us decides how we respond to the background and family that we come from. Blaming others, whether it's your mom or dad or circumstances, all that will do is keep you stuck in the very cycle you're trying to break free from. Embracing this victim mentality only makes the challenges of your past more difficult, and in fact, it will keep you stuck in the past. Some people come from dysfunctional families and they never recover. Some people come from dysfunctional families and they rise above their past and they live healthy lives. Here's a definition of a dysfunctional family. A dysfunctional family is one in which there has been a major breakdown in the basic relationships within the family so that the family itself no longer functions properly. Terence Gorski is an internationally recognized expert on substance abuse, mental health, violence, and crime. He writes about the role that dysfunctional families play in all of those areas: substance abuse, mental health, violence, crime. And he says, and this is amazing, but true, he says in America, there are more dysfunctional families than healthy families. He mentions that in a dysfunctional family, each person has a role to play to keep the cycle of dysfunction going. And so if you are in a dysfunctional family today, which of these roles are you playing? There is the enabler, he says. This is the caretaker. The enabler protects and takes care of the problem parent in order to keep the family going. He or she takes on the burden and responsibilities of the problem parent to prevent them from going into a crisis. Then there is the hero. The hero takes on the role of making the family look good. This overachieving person is good at making everything on the outside look normal. And because there is a hero, people don't really see the dysfunction. There is the scapegoat. The scapegoat is often the child who exhibits negative behaviors that take the attention off of the main problem in the family. There's the one child. Well, that child is just the problem. When in reality, that child is pointing to a dysfunctional family. There is the lost child. The lost child is the quiet one who tries to escape the situation. This child often avoids interactions with other family members, leading to a lack of social development in the long run. And then there's the mascot. The mascot works to lighten the mood, break up the tension within the family. They often use humor to distract from their problems instead of facing them. In some ways, we could all say that we have a certain amount of dysfunction in all of our families, and we can identify with these different roles in the family. I actually came across a little test. Chip Ingram writes about this, but the test actually comes from Kansas State University, which will help clarify if you are in a dysfunctional family and maybe the role that you are playing. And what I want you to do with these questions is I want you to answer yes or no. I just want you to give that answer, yes or no. First thing that comes to your mind when I ask the question, yes or no. And I'm going to read through these pretty quick because I don't want you to think, well, I'm not sure. I need to think about that. I just want the first reaction. What is the first thing that comes to mind? Is that a yes or is it a no? Now, I will put these in the show notes so that you can see them and look at them yourself. But let me walk through these questions with you. It's a test to clarify if you are part of a dysfunctional family and will help us see what role you play. And these questions are yes or no. So the first thing that comes to your mind when I ask you these questions, answer yes or no. Number one, do you find yourself needing approval from others to feel good about yourself? Yes or no. Do you agree to do more for others than you can comfortably accomplish? Yes or no. Are you a perfectionist? Yes or no. Do you tend to avoid or ignore responsibilities? Yes or no. Do you find it difficult to identify what you're feeling inside? Do you find it difficult to express your feelings? Do you tend to think in all or nothing terms? Do you often feel lonely even in the presence of others? Is it difficult for you to ask for what you need from others? Is it difficult for you to maintain intimate relationships? Yes or no? Do you find it difficult to trust others? Do you tend to hang around hurtful and destructive relationships? Yes or no? Are you aware, more aware of others' needs and feelings than you are your own? Yes or no? Do you find it difficult to deal with anger or criticism? Is it hard for you to relax and enjoy yourself? Do you find yourself feeling like a fake in an academic or a professional life? Yes or no? Do you find yourself waiting for disaster to strike even when things are going well in your life? Now, you know how these tests are. And there's going to be different conclusions based on every circumstance. But they say if you said yes to more than half of those questions, there are 18 in all, you probably have come from a dysfunctional family. Now, if you answered yes to 3, 4, 5 of those, chances are you came from just a regular group of people that has some hangups, and we all have them. No family's perfect. But if you said yes to more than half of those, you are probably from a dysfunctional family. Now, here's what we know. Ingram says that dysfunctional families are not new. But we do know the level and the extreme of what's happened in families in more recent years. there are more dysfunctional families with more extremes. And here's what we've learned from the recovery movement and what we've learned from the psychological literature over the years, that there are four very specific things we know about dysfunctional families. Dysfunctional families left to themselves produce dysfunctional children. That's no surprise. Flawed parents act out of their own misguided conclusions and inability to deal with emotion while raising their children. And here's what happens. One of the common dynamics in dysfunctional families is that the children grow up and repeat the same patterns they saw in dad and mom. Number two, dysfunctional families require an intervention to break the cycle of destruction. Unless there is some type of intervention, each generation adds a new chapter in the history of dysfunction. Third, genuine recovery never begins until a person hits bottom. I've witnessed this over and over in recovery. The question is, do you really want to get well? And fourth, genuine recovery is never complete until another person has helped another person recover. If you're familiar with the 12 steps of life recovery, you know that toward the very end, you need to help someone else. That's part of the recovery process. Life recovery step number 12 says this: having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I want to focus on that line where it says we tried to carry this message to others. Now that you've had a spiritual awakening, and I hope that you have, the goal is for you to help other people. You take all that has happened in your life, all that you have learned, and now you have a mission to help others. God doesn't waste your pain or your hurts. He can redeem them to help other people. And your recovery is not complete until you help others. There's a verse in the Bible, Galatians 6, verse 1, that says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." That's our calling, to gently and humbly help each other get back on the right path. In verse 2, the Bible says, share each other's burdens. Is there someone in your life who God wants you to help carry a burden for them, with them, and to help them get back onto the right path? Have there been or are there people in your life that God has placed there who are trying to help you carry your burden and to help you get back on the right path? Let them help you. We all need that help. Now, the reason why this is important is because we have to deal with some defeats in our lives. No one is undefeated in life. The fact is, everybody experiences failure in life. We all have a certain amount of dysfunction. Life is not an unbroken series of victories. We all have setbacks, failures, defeats, losses, and dysfunction. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. So what can you do today to help end the cycle of dysfunction in your life and in your family? Number one, you acknowledge that God has a plan for you. God is always in control of everything. Every circumstance in your life happens by either the initiation or the permission of a loving God. I can't explain it all to you. I don't have all the answers to a lot of your questions, but I do know that God is for you and not against you. Man's failure cannot nullify God's sovereignty. Number two, choose responsibility. Viktor Frankl, who survived the Nazi prison camps, said this. He said, "The last of all great human freedoms is to choose one's response to any given set of circumstances." You can blame the past, or you can choose to break the cycle. It requires that you recognize that right now you are responsible for the decisions you make in your life. Number three, think about the future. You acknowledge God has a plan for you. You choose responsibility, and you think about the future. The course of action you choose today will affect your life, but it will also affect your children, your grandchildren, and even more generations. It is really important that you don't make decisions based on emotions. Make your decisions based on truth and think about the future. You acknowledge God has a plan for you. You choose responsibility. You think about the future. And to help break free from the dysfunction of your life, your family, your past, you be grateful. Be grateful. Focus on the good in all of the dysfunction and pain. You can still find areas of your life where God has been good to you. Choose to focus on the good. Be grateful. Being grateful takes practice. It doesn't just naturally happen. Practice being grateful. Thank you for joining me today on this episode of Pivotal Decisions. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with others. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the Pivotal Decisions podcast on the YouTube channel for more insightful discussions. And until next time, remember the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow.